Hi, and welcome to Polite Pets First podcast. Ooh, that was a tongue twister. My name is Allison. I am a trainer and behavioral consultant with Polite Pet Training. We are a brand new company down here in Mobile, Alabama, locally owned and operated. Polite Pet offers unique and customized dog training services in our city and some of our neighboring counties. We do try to stretch out and help as many people as possible. Polite works with pet parents that are encountering issues from basic manners and that sort of thing to the deeper issues of fear and aggression issues, some destructive behaviors. You know, some of those things that need a little bit extra help from a professional. We do offer a lot of classes down here in Mobile, and we will be talking about that on the show, mostly about like what kind of situations we've encountered, what works, what isn't working in large group situations. So that will help a lot with the podcast, getting the word out there. So everything we do with Polite, we're actually going to podcast on here. Of course, some names and everything will be changed, but the cases that we're working on are going to be put out there. Because not only do we want others who may be experiencing the same type of situation to get a little bit of education on it, but also to get some different opinions. As far as dog training goes and any sort of animal behavior type field, you don't ever stop learning. You need to put the information out there at all times and see what other kind of opinions and techniques might be good for the situation. You know, something that you may not have considered before or hadn't had the experience to even think about that sort of thing. So this is going to be a whole huge networking project with Polite Pet Training. We're really excited about it. You can find us on Facebook, you can find us on the web, email us, call us. It doesn't matter. We love talking to people about their pets, about their situations, and you know, we just really enjoy it. We love what we do, and that's why Polite Pet Training has started. And you know, we're hoping to have a lot of success with the programs that we offer. Our most important thing is to advocate the idea of the individual dog. We need to get away from this master-servant mentality that is still kind of lingering around from, you know, the last thousands of years that we've been with dogs. Dogs are no longer that in our families. They're not developed for that anymore. They actually yearn for different emotional and mental stimuli. These types of things help develop your dog into a balanced citizen, a balanced family member, because they're completely developed. If you leave a dog in the backyard to his own devices, as long as it's at the end of this chain, he's not going to learn a whole lot. His mind is not going to grow and evolve and be challenged to understand certain things that we expect our dogs to these days. You know, being a part of the family, applying pack behavior to a human situation, which is very one-sided. We're very bad about expecting the dog to do all the work. Oh, the dog should listen to me. The dog should know what to do. That's again that master-servant thing. I feed you, you should do what I want you to do. So we really need to start meeting our pets halfway because we're capable of that. We are very capable of different types of communication, different types of analytical information that we can gain off of just body language. We're really taking two different languages, a verbal and a behavioral, a physical, and applying them to one creature, which is the dog. It's really important that we begin understanding the importance of this and how to grow that communication, how to develop the good dog that you can take everywhere and always be with you. That's what a dog should be. There shouldn't be the frustration, the I gotta get home because I think my dog might tear up the couch type of thing. You shouldn't be worried about your dog in public situations. There are ways to develop your dog into a very productive, very loving family member and citizen. So that's what we're promoting with Polite Pet, and that's what we're going to be covering a lot with this show. Different cases where we've gone from point A to point B and how we did it, how the dog responded, different cases. Because remember, everyone is an individual. Each dog is an individual, and each case is going to bring out different traits of the species, different traits of the individual himself. So there's going to be lots of comparisons, lots of different case studies. This should be really quite interesting for everybody, from the very experienced to the non-experienced. You know, this is a progressive learning state that we're trying to promote here, and we're really hoping that it takes off and that people are really susceptible to this idea. So with that being said, we're really excited to get going. So this is our first podcast, and we're gonna try to do some music. I'm not sure if this is gonna be a routine thing, if we're gonna have music every time that we have a show, but I am going to go ahead and share this song. This is actually Taylor Swift, who I'm not a huge fan of, but this song is really good. I was listening to it one day as I was volunteering at a shelter, and it was a little moving. Maybe, you know, some of you other shelter volunteers will understand. if you really listen to the lyrics. But anyway, this is actually a song from The Hunger Games, which I'm a big fan of. So hopefully you will enjoy it too. And when we come back, we're going to discuss different physical behaviors and body language that can often be misinterpreted from the dog to the human. So we'll be right back.
Streaming down your face when I said I'll never let you go. When all those shadows almost killed your light. I remember you said, don't leave me here alone. But all that's dead and gone and past tonight. Just close your eyes.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed your small music break there with Taylor. That song is called Safe and Sound. It is from the Hunger Games soundtrack. So if you liked it, go download it. So getting back into our show, we're coming into another part talking about some behaviors in dogs that can be misinterpreted by humans. We all know that dogs communicate primarily through body language. If a dog is wagging his tail, then he's probably happy. If a dog is having his ears perked up, he's interested in something. Those are all very basic things. But there are some things that have gotten a bit confused within the past few years or so. One of my favorite ones is the misunderstanding that a dog coming into your space, or perhaps putting a paw on you or leaning on you, is an assertion of dominance. This is incorrect. What's happening here, the reason that this theory has even come up, is because of some dog behavioralists that, I shouldn't say behavioralists, I'm sorry, dog psychologists who are taking dog-on-dog behaviors and applying them to humans. Now, this is perfectly fine if we're with a wild animal here. If we're taking a wild animal's behavior with its own kind, with other species and whatnot, and putting it with a human, that communication style is not going to change. There's no different dialect, there's no meet me halfway type of thing. That animal is still just speaking in the only way it knows how. Now, for dogs, they're different because they are, in all sense of the word, bilingual. They speak dog and they speak human. They understand our verbal cues and they also understand our body language cues, which is all very interesting and whatnot, and we'll talk more about that later. But going back to our main discussion, that a dog coming into your space or crowding your body is asserting dominance. Dog on dog, that is correct. You'll watch as dogs, if they're introduced to each other and one dog has decided to go ahead and claim the dominant spot immediately, he'll often put his head above the other dog. He'll kind of nudge them. Sometimes they'll put the paw on the back somewhere to lift themselves up over the dog. This is all very common behavior. It's very assertive. We'll use assertive. That dog is taking the initiative to go ahead and claim the spot and is very physical about it. So we see this a lot with dogs, and it's, like I said, it's natural to think that an animal can come from one conversation and go onto a human and apply that same conversational skill, but dogs are bilingual. If a dog wants to challenge a human on dominance, he's not going to crowd your space. He's not going to just lean on you and put his paw on you and whatnot. He's not going to leave any question about it. That dog is going to get in your face. He's going to be very violent and he's going to be very powerful. Because if a dog wants to challenge a human, he's not stupid. He knows how to take us down naturally. You know, that is the animal side in him that is being triggered when he wants to try to assert dominance over a human. Now, following this conversation up, I have never once in my life, all the years that I've been dog training, have seen a dog try to assert physical dominance over a person in any kind of fashion, especially in the attack fashion. Which is really crazy because most of the time that's what I'm getting contacted for. I'm getting contacted for these dogs that are, quote, super aggressive, people dominant. And every single time that I hear that, oh, my dog is being dominant towards people, I'm just like, oh, here we go. There's a situation going on that is being highly misconstrued. Most of the time, if a dog isn't aggressive towards a person, 90% of the time, it's out of fear. 90%. Sometimes we'll have some territorial issues that do have to do a little bit with dominance, but again, not in the same fashion as a dog on dog. Dogs rarely ever challenge humans on a dominant basis. They will challenge humans for one of three things that I have noticed in the past years. One, food. Starving dogs will always attack. It doesn't matter what you are, who you are. If they are hungry and there's food, they're gonna get to it. Number two, protecting their offspring. If we have a dog who's had some puppies and a stranger comes in the room, I don't care if that's the friendliest golden retriever you've ever met in your life, she's probably going to maul his face off. And that's okay. That's the mom in her. That's what we need to understand. Number three, when they'll attack, is purely out of surprise and fear. This is the most common situation that we run into, is a dog being too afraid, too overstimulated, too unbalanced, and lashing out. They can lash out at people, they lash out at other animals, they even lash out at things. I've seen a dog attack a chair like it was, I don't even know, like it was possessed or something. This dog wanted to eat it. So most attack issues and, quote, aggression issues actually don't stem out of dominance level at all, which is going to bring us into our next characteristic that is often misinterpreted, is a dog who will bare his very front teeth, those tiny teeth between the canines. He'll usually do this when he's being introduced to another dog or another group of dogs, especially. What you're going to notice about these kind of dogs who display this kind of behavior, they're going to be very uncertain. They're very unbalanced. They're not really sure what's going on, and they're not confident in themselves. Baring of the very front teeth, those tiny teeth, is very primal behavior for them. You'll usually see this come out of more of the ancient breeds, in which they're retaining some of their more animalistic ways when they're speaking to other dogs. Now, when people see this, of course they go berserk. People will always get that rush of adrenaline, that rush of fear when they see a dog bare its teeth, because that's also innate in us. That's a natural reaction for us. But because we have critical thinking skills, everybody, we need to take a step back and look at this, especially with dogs who are displaying this kind of behavior. This is not an aggressive behavior. He is displaying his front teeth. You'll probably notice that his tail is tucked. His head might be kind of low and angled. Most of the time, the teeth will not be accompanied by a growl or any sort of vocalization at all. There might be a whine in there, possibly. The dog will also be very crouched up to itself, especially if there's a large group around it. Now, also look at the other dogs. What are the other dogs doing? Most of the time, when dogs are seeing this, what they're receiving, the message that they're getting, is that this dog is extremely unbalanced. He's not sure of himself. He's not sure of me, so I shouldn't be sure of him either. So they'll usually stay away. They might try to get a scent that'll tell them more about him, but other than that, they won't really engage too much. They won't really approach. Some young dogs might do it, and that usually doesn't come up into any sort of explosion or fight or anything. Young dogs do get a little bit of a free pass most of the time, even with really unstable, unbalanced dogs. However, if a dominant dog does come into the situation, now remember when I say dominant, I mean dog dominant. When a dominant dog comes into the situation, he might really throw it off. He could assert himself, and that would just be the last straw for this dog who is obviously overstimulated and completely submissive in his situation. So remember, the next time that you see this, you might see it at a dog park or something like that. When the dog is baring the very front teeth, don't freak. Just stand there for a second. Just give yourself about 5 seconds. I'm not telling you just to stand there if something terrible is going on, but just stand there as the situation is developing. Use your eyes, use your other senses, your critical thinking skills, and put the picture together. When a dog is talking, what he's doing is using several different lines of communication. He can be vocal, he can be purely physical. For other dogs, he can even let off different kinds of scents. So we need to start picking this up and understanding that our dog's communication is actually very accurate and very detailed. So, looking at the dog, do not miss the forest for the trees. Pick up everything and put it into a picture. What is going on here? So that's just two of the examples that we run into quite a lot. I mentioned the baring of the teeth one because I actually ran into it last week or so with a very unsure German Shepherd dog. And it was perhaps the first time I'd seen it in a little while to be that extreme because he was extremely insecure in himself. He was surrounded by a lot of dogs who were larger than him. But even though he was baring his teeth and with dogs that I considered to be unstable at the time, nobody even approached him, which it's just stuck in my mind for the past week, so I'm glad I was able to talk about it with you guys. If you have any suggestions of behaviors that you want to bring up to the table and see what everybody thinks about it, go ahead and email us and let us know what the behavior is, what's going on, and perhaps we can, help you out with it if it's your dog or if it's a dog you know. But if it's just, a general knowledge question, then go ahead and ask, and if we know it, we'll answer it, and if we don't, we'll put it out there so somebody else can maybe answer it. So that's going to be ending our little education part for today. I know it was only about 10 minutes long. It will be a little bit longer in the future, I think, depending on how well this little show goes. So for this last part of the show, we're actually going to have a case study. This case study is going to be a Yorkshire Terrier named Buttercup. Gotta love everybody's names. People's names for their dogs. It's real fun. I had a gumbo last week. He was an interesting dog. But anyway, back to Buttercup. She is 1.5 years old. She lives over in Florida. Her owner has had her all her life, ever since she was about 8 weeks old. The dog does show some behavioral issues. She first contacted us because the dog was having barking problems. She would become overstimulated and bark and bark and bark. She'd bark if the owner was not paying enough attention to her. She'd bark if she thought she heard something. She'd bark at neighbors, strangers, everybody. So, and we all know how much we love barking dogs. That was the number one concern. Number two was she was 1.5 years old and she was still not going potty on the pad. She was, going potty wherever the heck she wanted. The other problem with that is that the dog is not leash friendly. Non-leash friendly dogs are very frustrating, and it's a frustrating thing to have, especially when you're trying to potty train a dog. I can't imagine how incredibly frustrated you would get after 1.5 years of having a dog and still having to clean up the potty. I run into it all the time. It just blows my mind. So Buttercup gets lots of exercise. She definitely has about 2 hours to 3 hours of exercise a day. The owner spends a lot of time with the dog. The dog also gets to play with the kids in the family, and it sounds like it has a very good life, of course, and is very stimulated and whatnot. But that's where we're going to start looking at the age. The dog is still not mature. Although females will usually mature around a year and a half, this particular dog has not. So we're looking at a maturity level that's a little less than adult, than completely stable. So we got to consider that when we're looking at this kind of behavior. We're also looking at whether or not the dog has any other animal contact inside the house, which this particular dog does not. This is a single dog. And lastly, we're actually going to look at breed. The type of breed is always really important, especially, cannot stress this enough, for pure breed dogs. If you have a pure breed dog, that dog was made for an intent, for a purpose, for a job. If you can't give your pure breed dog a job of some sort, he's going to develop really strange behaviors, let me tell you. So, think about that if you have a pure breed or if you're considering getting a pure breed. A lot of people seem to think that pure breeds are somehow better than the mixed breeds. I guess that's the stigma around it. But really, with pure breeds, you got to think about what this dog was really engineered for, really bred for. And for terriers, they're always going to be a small prey dog. They're always going to be real high energy, also small in stature, very barky, because that's how those kind of dogs are. They're chase animals. These are not the pointers or the setters or anything. These are dogs that are chasing down the rodents and the other small mammals that people were hunting at the time. I think the Yorkshire Terrier was actually well known for being a ratter. So these dogs are high energy, very high intellect as well as their problem solvers. So these are all things that we're considering. This is the big picture that we're talking about here. So for Buttercup, our plan of action is pretty basic as far as we're concerned. The dog is receiving proper amounts of exercise, we feel. However, we want to make that exercise a little bit more interesting for her, such as giving her different toys to play with, perhaps taking her to the dog park to interact with other dogs. Being social with other dogs is highly underestimated by owners. This type of socialization and whatnot actually brings out new characteristics in your dog and also balances your dog. So for Buttercup, it would be very good to be going to the park, getting some exercise, getting some socialization. Now, here's the problem with that plan of action, taking her to the park, is this leash problem. And I'm going to ignore the barking and the potty for right now for the leash, because the leash is very, very important for the progression of her plan of action. She's got to have an outlet for exercise. We have to have a way to transport her safely to different things that are going to help stimulate her. And she also has to understand that she's not in charge all the time. She needs to listen. She needs to be able to understand that she is a team with her owner. Her owner is her team. So with the leash training, this dog will slip out of a leash the moment you get it on her. If you have a collar on her, she just whoop right out of there. And that happens a lot with these silky terriers. The collars are they're just not made for these little bitty dogs. And I also don't advocate having a collar on these type of small dogs, because their trachea is very small. And although they can't exert a whole lot of power to damage themselves, something might happen with you as far as you pull the wrong direction, hit the dog in the wrong spot. Or I see lots of little Pomeranians and other small breed dogs that are put out on a yard line with a collar on. If that dog goes running for something, like they do because they're chase animals, you see how I did that? So when they're out there and they see something to run at and they run and hit the end of that line, they'll go flying backwards and their poor little neck is probably going to get damaged. So I really advocate harnesses for small dogs. The argument that you'll run into with this from some other dog trainers is that the harness is made as a pulling mechanism. This is a tool to haul things, to pull things. But I feel for small dogs, it's just going to be safer for them all around. It's not giving them any more of an advantage. It's not giving them any sort of leeway to do that pulling. It's not going to advocate them to pull more on the leash. It's probably going to give you more control rather than anything. And it might also be more comfortable for the dog. A lot of dogs just don't like having things around their necks being pulled on all the time. And I can't say I blame them. That's probably not very fun. I have a stray right now who will not go on the leash by the collar. She has to have a harness on, which is fine. She is an individual. We're working with what is best for her. So that's what we're going to do with Buttercup as well. So Buttercup is going to get a new little harness. She's going to get a retractable leash because what we're trying to teach her is that although she can go running out and explore, she needs to come back to mom. She needs to know that mom is home base. She has a little bit of freedom, but again, still in control, still part of that team that we were just talking about there. She's taking her cues from mom, but she's still having a good time. The retractable leashes are not something I advocate a lot. This is actually a pretty rare occurrence. A lot of times with dogs who are having leash problems, retractable leashes are not actually the best solution for them. However, for Buttercup, after having a consult with her, really seemed to have more of a curiosity than an actual will just to run away or to just get out of the leash that she hated the leash so much. She was just annoyed with the leash. She couldn't stand that she couldn't reach farther than she wanted to. So we're going to try the retractable with a harness and see how that does for her, if it's more comfortable for her, that she can accept it a little more, and also get rewarded for the fact that she's going to stay on the leash, she's going to come to mom, she's going to do what she needs to do when she needs to do it. So with the leash, hopefully the plan is that this is going to help the potty training, because rather than having exercising the dog in the backyard, which a lot of people seem to think is adequate, it is not. You don't just pop the dog in the back in the backyard and leave him there for, an hour or two and consider that exercise. That's not exercise. So what we need to do is actually take Buttercup out of the yard, out of the house, get her out and observing things. And hopefully this is actually going to just take over the potty training problem, because if she's going out for a walk twice a day and, going to the park, a couple times a week, and also having the yard for potty, because she's going to have the stimulation to actually go outside and be rewarded for going outside. That's what I think we're missing a lot with Buttercup here, is she's not quite understanding why she's got to go out there. Why is it better for her to go out there when she could just go in the kitchen? It's easier in the kitchen, human. What can you not get about this? So I'm thinking that's where her mindset is at. So the leash and the walking is what we're going to attack the potty problem with and see how that goes. I really think it's going to curb it if we get some positive reinforcement in there. Now the barking. Barking is something that little dogs just love to do. Oh, they love hearing themselves. I don't know why. Little dogs, especially little Yorkies, just love to yap. Their little nicknames, yappers and whatnot. It's so true. So when we're curbing a barking behavior, this is actually something that takes more time than people are willing to put in. So they just stay with this barking behavior and, get annoyed with it and frustrated. Meanwhile, if you spend consistent amount of time assessing this behavior and curbing it, you can curb it. It will go away. Not 100%, because still, let's remember, this is a purebred dog, is bred for certain things, innate in its nature, and it's going to be a little bit of a barker if it gets alarmed at something. But we want to teach the self-control. That's what we're doing here. Self-control in dogs is very important. I can't stress it enough. And, you can't give your dog a free pass because, oh, it's just a dog. He's just going to go do whatever he wants to do. No! Your dog is smarter than you're giving him credit for. Give him some boundaries. Give him some lessons to learn. They'll grow and learn and be awesome. I'm telling you, it's just amazing to see this stuff happen. So with the barking, the plan is consistency. So what we're doing is actually going to attack the barking on a base level. As soon as I went over there, of course, this dog was yep, 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 yep. So it's already in a level where I cannot reach her. She, remember that dogs can only think on an emotional basis. So when she was interacting with me and she saw me, her mind was just enveloped in this behavior of just being alarmed and barking and barking and barking. There's a stranger. There's nothing I can do to take her out of that at that moment. I could, give her a treat and distract her and redirect, which is what we call it, redirecting the energy. But what I don't agree with that, because if I were to come in there and give her a treat while she's barking at me, I'm rewarding her barking behavior. That is not how I want to set up the relationship with the dog. What we actually ended up doing was bringing the dog to a separate room to calm down. She is crate trained. She does like her crate, which is very important for a crate trained dog. She does like it. It's a very calming environment for her. So we did remove her from the situation and put her into the crate. After discussing with the owner for about 15 minutes or so, we let her back out very casually. No direct contact. We just opened the door and let her out and see what she wanted to do. She gave a couple yips, but was not in that crazy state anymore. She had come back down to where I could actually engage with her. So immediately when she presented a proper behavior, a proper greeting, which would just be to sit and look at me, she got a treat, and it was a really tasty treat. It was some chicken. Dogs love chicken. And we'll talk more about different types of treats and different types of rewards in another show, perhaps the next one, because that's also very important. So when Buttercup is being good and not barking, she gets chicken. When she is barking, there is a level in which you ignore it, and then there's a level in which you address it. What we started with at first was addressing it. If you let a dog just bark and bark and bark, they get farther and farther and farther into that different zone where you can't reach them anymore. So with barking, you actually have to address the behavior first and see if you can curb it immediately, which luckily with Buttercup was the case. She wasn't yet in that elevated state where I couldn't reach her. So as soon as she started barking, there was a touch and a mild correction. That touch is very important for her because it's, ooh, bringing her out of that mentality that she feels she needs to bark. She's got to go look at something else. That is a redirection at that point. Once she looks, I direct her into something else, such as, if I had a toy or if I had a treat or whatever, distracting her into a new situation. Forget why she was barking, which she will. Dogs will always forget if you redirect. Forget if you redirect. So that actually worked wonders for her. However, it's going to take a lot of time for Buttercup to come out of this barking habit because it's been so long. She, again, doesn't understand why it's better for her to be quiet. Obviously, she needs to bark. She needs to tell everybody what's going on. It doesn't matter if it's the middle of the night. She's just got to bark. So we're just going to be teaching Buttercup a lot about self-control, why it's better to act a certain way rather than receiving negative reinforcement for things that she shouldn't be doing that she doesn't really understand why she shouldn't be doing, such as the potty or the slipping out of the leash or the barking. So that is our plan of action with Buttercup. Again, we're working on the leash behavior first to make her comfortable so we can transport, exercise, and stimulate. We're hoping that the leash behavior is actually going to curb that potty behavior. Number one that we're going to be looking at with the potty behavior is a schedule. She's a little bit older to apply the puppy behavior schedule, but we're going to try it, which is, of course, gauging when you feed, when you don't, when there's water, when there's not. So that way we can kind of decide when her potty schedule might be and direct her into the right situation rather than being too late and trying to correct a situation that already happened. And thirdly, for this barking, consistency, consistency, redirect, and they'll forget. That's what we want. So that's what we talked about with the owner for our first meeting. We are going to have several sessions after this to continue with the behavior study for me to grow and learn and do all of this kind of stuff, but also to assist her in fully accepting this lifestyle change. And it is a lifestyle change. This is very much, it's not something that you do for a weekend and the dog is fixed and then it's all over. No, Polite Pet is all about being progressive for a learning experience that's going to last your entire life. Our trainers, me and the other trainers here at Polite Pet, really want to help people just understand how to better communicate, how to better provide, and how to better receive affection for your dog. It's a very rewarding experience for everybody involved, and we absolutely love our clients and we love the response that we're getting from them. So, just all very exciting stuff to happen. And I've talked myself to death. And that's going to be the end of the show. Next time, I'm not sure what we're going to discuss. We'll probably go back over Buttercup first thing. I get to see her in a couple days, so we're going to see how her case is going and have an update. We'll also have a new case study at that point. We haven't decided which dog it's going to be, but that'll be a pleasant surprise. And then as far as our education segment, we're not sure what we're going to cover just yet. I'm hoping to get one of the other consulting trainers in here who's very educated in anthropology and a lot of different animal behaviors. So he'd be great to talk to for all of us. So that is the end of Polite Pet's first podcast. So excited. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you'll be back next time. And please share this with your friends. Like I said, this is a huge networking idea. We really just want to get the information and the ideas out there. So everyone have a great day, and we will see you next time.